Before we launch into what we're going to do in these segments of today, I want to remind everybody, if you're new to the channel, you are going to remember that I started off defending TPUSA and Erica Kirk. And I did so until the evidence became so overwhelming to the contrary that no decent person would defend either Erica or the organization that she represents, and for good reason. And so before anyone say you are so harsh and so evil and demonic like they are with Candace, I just want to remind people I started off on their side, and now I've arrived at the truth. And many of the things we say, we can remove the label of allegedly, and we can begin to say without a doubt. One of the things that I'm going to do in these segments today is I'm going to absolutely, positively, and I mean this without reservation, do a psychological analysis on Erica Kirk. And it's about time that this happened. And what I'm going to do in this particular segment, though, as a lead up to that, is to tell you what's the greatest fear that TPUSA has. Now, why don't you pause for a second, and you can send me an email, you can make a comment if you're watching this on social media, and you can tell me, what do you think their greatest fear is? And they are right now pooping bricks, I guarantee you, and they should be. And I have to tell you, at the end of the day, with all this, Charlie will be vindicated. And this is part of the process of his vindication. Do I think he was perfect? No, and I didn't agree with everything he said, but his mission was tremendous. And I look at Charlie in many ways that I do JFK. JFK made it to the pinnacle. And he also was not a perfect man, but he had some pretty perfect ideas about how to run government. And they ran contrary to satanically controlled deep state. And they made him pay. Charlie didn't make it to the pinnacle of power, but he was on a fast track to do so. In fact, actually, he was poised to achieve what his age said he shouldn't be able to. He was a prodigy in many different ways. And Charlie, I think, would have become president. And I think this was some people's greatest fear. If we can't control him in TPUSA, how the hell can we control his presidency? Oh my gosh, he might actually be a real America First president. He might actually positively reestablish Christian values as governing principles. Can't have that, can you? Zionists who've betrayed your faith. If you are a Christian Zionist, you are in opposition to biblical scripture. And usually I'm not so firm in condemning people. They have the right to their opinions. But if you're going to talk about the Bible as a measuring stick, and you bring me this Zionist nonsense and America's second and my faith and the resurrection of Jesus Christ does not matter because we got to revert to a covenant that was superseded, I'm not hearing it. And nor should any other Christian. That doesn't make me anti-Semitic. It makes me pro-Jesus. And by the way, you people can continue with your faith. Just don't step on mine. Your rights end at my nose. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about here after the break, what is TPUSA's greatest fear? Oh, and we have people that are lamenting. Oh, there's no justice. There'll never be. You're right, to some degree. There will be no justice from this administration for Charlie Kirk. Just the total flim-flam BS trial that's going on right now. But there's justice in the public court of opinion. And TPUSA is losing that. They might still be able to put fannies in the seats, but their regular donations from regular Joes are drying up. And eventually, those seats are not going to be filled. And the majority of the young adults in this country are opposed to Netanyahu. And young American Christians are waking up in greater numbers as to the threat to their faith. And I'll make this really clear. I'm uncompromising here. Yes, people have the right to their religion, but I'm uncompromising that you will not dictate to me what my covenant is according to the Bible. That is not even open for debate. So Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and all the rest of you Zionists that want to rely on the outdated and superseded Genesis 12:3, you've lost. And you're going to continue to lose. And if you're not careful, you're going to lose your salvation. We're brought to you by something that probably all of you are going to need at some point. I reached my point very early in life when I had knee pain, but I fought through it. Then ended up being bone on bone. And I'm said, I'm dying with these knees. I'm not doing that knee replacement thing as long as I can do some things. But I lost my ability to do the things that I loved until Scotty Sachs, my good friend, my partner at Sovereign Radio, said, Dave, do this. This is amazing. This is one of the NanoSoma products, the NanoSoma gel. It's fantastic. Grows pluripotent stem cells, clinically established. And today I'm doing things I have not done in over 25 years. Reduces the inflammation, the pain, and gives you your life back. Now you got to do the work because make no mistake about it. You don't rub this on and ignore your body and expect it to be okay. As you approach older age, you will get sarcopenia for most of you, which means a wasting away of your muscles. So you're going to have to work out to maintain what you got. But how do you overcome the joint inflammation and the roadblocks that that presents? Well, I just gave you the ticket. The NanoSoma gel. It's part of the three pack too that you can get for 15% off. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, the defender of Erica Kirk. And I was in total error. And I knew I was in error. Listen to me. Her first speech, I totally disregarded 2 days after Charlie was killed. I totally disregarded. It's just a woman who's got to be in absolute horrible pain and shock. And gee, I've got these kids. And how do I tell them about their dad? And this is just terrible. I felt awful. I would tear up thinking about what she was going through. What really began to turn me was the memorial. What a flippin' clown show that was. That didn't honor Charlie. It honored the Republican Party propaganda on one part, and on the other part, it was glitz and glamour, and I felt I was at a Vegas show. I just the and I have to tell you, we as humans pick up on incongruencies between expected affect, emotion, displayed affect, and congruent or incongruent body language that matches the affect or what you would expect to see. You don't need to study it. Now, I have studied it and I have taught it as a matter of my social science background, but you don't have to because we are programmed, hardwired, probably our survival mechanism, because we need to be able to distinguish pretty quickly. Friend or foe, right? That's a survival instinct. But we can discern body language subconsciously. And you get this feeling about someone. I can't really tell you how I feel, but this is what I know about this person. Ooh, they're just bad. Okay, we've all had that experience. That's your unconscious speaking to you. And then once you begin to study, you'll go, oh, I get it. I can't tell you the number of students when I used to teach body language. to them, they'd say, oh, now I understand why I had those feelings about certain people. And I'll tell you, my mechanisms were screaming at me after the memorial. As people say to me, what'd you think about the memorial? I just wanted to shake my head, but then the stuff started coming out. I'm going to say this and I'm going to justify it here in a later segment. Erica Kirk is a psychopath and a sociopath at the same time. Now, modern psychology through the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual has combined the two into what we call antisocial personality disorder. And I'm going to break all that down for you, just for you to know right here as a matter of just a brief explanation. Antisocial doesn't mean we shy away from people and we don't want to be in crowds. In fact, actually with Erica, she's got the opposite MO. She's attention seeking to the max, hyper attention seeking. That's not what this is about though. Antisocial personality disorder is a mental illness, and we're going to look at it and break it down and see if it doesn't match what we see with Erica. Yeah, okay, let's get into what does TPUSA fear the most? Well, it's quite obvious they fear exposure. The letter of cease and desist that went out to Zach DiGregorio. What a joke that was. How dare you call this an audit? It was an effort, and we're going to sue you if you say that again. I mean, this is ridiculous. You're looking at finances. Charlie wanted a review of the finances. That's an audit. Dictionary definition, not your legal BS. But we're going to call it an effort. Somehow that takes the sting away from Charlie had a problem with the money. Zach identifies the money problems. And now they want to cover it up by shutting you up. So at first they feared exposure. Well, they've lost that battle. We are more than 5 months out. We're approaching 6 months next year. It's incredible how the time flies. And you would think that as a normal news story, this would have faded out, kind of like the Somalia fraud. How convenient is that? But this isn't going away. It isn't going away because what we have discovered is there are layers of deceit and concern at TPUSA. And the symbol of those layers of conceit and concern is the personality and past of Erica Kirk, which I'm going to cover with you in a later segment. And it'll leave no doubt as to where they're at. But what TPUSA really fears is complete discrediting. And then when they no longer can draw people and their fireworks and pyrotechnic or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't grab someone's attention. And you bring out people like Nicki Minaj and you're a Christian organization. Okay. There's going to come a time when the investors, the donors, aren't getting the bang for their buck. And Erica won't meet an end like Charlie. It'll be an end she probably fears even more. Being ignored. The money disappears. The seats aren't filling up. That's what they fear. But here's a bigger consequence. Right now, TPUSA is untouchable legally. Just look at the stuff that's been uncovered, right? So clearly, they got Kash Patel on their side. We've told you who it is. Don't you dare look at foreign involvement. Don't you dare look at anything else other than what we've told you. And TPUSA is the mantra of that. We have all the answers. Yes, that's the guy. Let's put him to death. Let's hurry up and get the trial done. And Erica Kirk is pushed for. Erica, how about that picture you had with Tyler Robinson? Is that AI? I don't think you've addressed that, but a lot of people are saying that's real. Anyway, that aside, TPUSA has been exposed. And that exposure is growing in volume. And if they lose their ability to affect the upcoming midterms, this is important now, on behalf of their Zionist donors, we must elect people that will actually serve a different flag than the Stars and Stripes. This is why they're putting $20 million into defeating Massey, because he ain't buying it. And I wished Marjorie Taylor Greene had not gone away, because she wasn't buying it either. But if they lose that ability, because the organization's lost so much credibility, say bye-bye funding. Now, it could be that they'll ride this horse to the end because it's the horse they came to the race on, and they may ride it through the midterms. But if they don't get the results they want, bye-bye TPUSA, and that's what they're afraid of. Now, here's the deal. Netanyahu and Trump seemingly need each other for various political reasons. And it would be hard to wage a campaign against Iran, which no doubt we're going to do, without Netanyahu and partnership or actually domination of our government. So that makes TPUSA untouchable since they've become a pro-Zionist organization. Now, having said that, that's only going to carry you so far. Once you lose your ability to affect American politics and American public opinion, the money will dry up. Now, the legal protections that are there, where Cash Patel and Pam Bondi are TPUSA, Charlie Kirk, hear no evil, see no evil, oh my gosh, it's your guys are full of it. We've told you what the truth is. Stop looking at it. That's not going to work after public opinion turns, particularly as the country pivots towards the 2028 election. And if TPUSA loses their premier position as a Zionist organization designed to influence American politics, the money will disappear, and with it will go the pseudo-legal protections they now enjoy from their alleged bad acts. And this is when this organization will crash and burn, and some people who we think deserve justice may very well face justice if we have an honest legal proceeding. Right now, there's no chance of an honest legal proceeding. TPUSA can shuffle money all they want right now from a 501c3 to a 501c4 with no consequence, no audit, no nothing. They even get a letter from the IRS that no one else in the history of the IRS has ever given. Oh, they're not under investigation. Why the hell would you say that? Oh, because you're in support of their mission and you want to take suspicion away from them? But all that support right now will disappear if they fail in their mission. This is why they're trying so hard to shut us up. But they're not facing just Dave Hodges or Candace Owens. They're not just facing Project Constitution or Danks. They're facing an army of people now. It's growing. And we got people who are not even involved in the truth movement and the alternative media who are now speaking out. We've got former actors and actresses talking about the performative presence of Erica Kirk and how it's so insincere and how they view her. This has grown to epidemic proportions for these people. And at some point in time, TPUSA will crash and burn. And they very well may have to face consequences, like I said, for their alleged bad acts. This is why they fear exposure. Now, I had to ask myself, am I doing the Christian thing by exposing Erica Kirk from my perspective? Because I'm ready to do a big expose. Case in point, disclaimer, I'm a former therapist. I'm trained. Okay? I taught psychology for years and years and years, decades. I'm bringing that to bear today. And you're going to get a pretty sound analysis. Now, I have not sat down with Erica Kirk, and I have not done a behavioral assessment. But there is so much overwhelming presence of her in public. And I've learned so much about her past. I've looked into her family influences. And I see all the things that I see. I got more than I would get in an initial behavioral assessment. I could give her an MMPI and not learn a whole lot more than what I know right now. Oh, an MMPI is over 400 questions. scales that rate personality in different levels, and then you get an aggregate assessment. I feel I have enough to maybe not totally supplant the MMPI, but to certainly complement it. Eric Kirk, in my humble opinion, has antisocial personality disorder, and I'm going to tell you the reasons why I'm of this professional opinion. The TPUSA already had that personality, and it's hard to say when they shifted. They weren't this way in the beginning, although I will say this, the people that were involved with Charlie in the beginning of TPUSA had ulterior motives other than educating young adults in college on the values of the Constitution, in particular free speech and being pro-American, pro-Christian. There were other motives there. And I believe that those motives grew in influence and importance and paralleled on a second path what Charlie's true mission was. And then they came into conflict because the threat of losing money. Yeah, I just gave you the reason. The love of money is the root of all evil, and this is what happened to Charlie. And I don't do him justice if I don't come out and I'm not honest. If you had asked me in September or even most of October, would have I ever done anything like I'm doing today? The answer would be no. Be in bad taste. But you get to a point where the evidence is so overwhelming, you either walk away or speak the truth. And I can't come before you every day behind a microphone and give you an opinion unless I actually give you the truth as I see it. Stay tuned, as we're going to talk about not just what TPUSA fears, but we're going to look at the personality of the person leading the organization, because I believe they're one and the same. You know, teams take on the personality of their coach, and the coach is also influenced by the personality of the team members. We're seeing that bilateral relationship right now at TPUSA. I see a lot of the behaviors. I'll just give you an example. The worst thing I have seen outside Erica Kirk was when Mikey McCoy walked away when Charlie went down without a second glance. And then as they're carrying Charlie out to the SUV, you see him walking by, talking on the phone, not even giving a second look to Charlie. That was the worst thing I've seen. I don't think I've seen such depraved indifference ever in a setting like that. Now, you might find it in wartime, right? Of course. This is bizarre. Yet the organization did not grieve Charlie, in my humble opinion, properly. Oh, there were individuals who did, but the institution did not, nor did Erica. Let's dab the same corner of my eye every time with the same hanky in the same way, and then smile boldly 10 seconds later, repeatedly. I think you get where I'm going with this. TPUSA and Erica Kirk are two peas in a pot. Come back, because we're going to hit the personality of Erica Kirk. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. If you've not gone over to our TV site, you should, thecommonsenseshow.tv. Good programming. And we do a little bit more of the politics there. We get into things like, Genesis 6-4 and the fallen angels and how it fits into the UFO phenomena. Are we headed for disclosure? Project Bluebeam. We look at Earth changes because our planet's going through the same kind of upheaval that we're going through in our country right now. And we look at that as well as the politics. People like at thecommonsenseshow.tv. And people say, Dave, I have to keep coming back to your site to get everything you do. About 75 to 80% of what we do ends up on our newsletter. And all you got to do to get it is go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Upper right-hand corner, click on the newsletter link, put in your contact information. You'll get yours either the same day or the next day at the latest. We'll see you back here next time. And it's going to be a blockbuster.
Hello, America, and to our friends around the world who don't deserve very much of our money. Sorry, we'll be gracious. We'll give to charities, but we're not going to support, well, you're. You know what I'm going to say. Free college, universal health care. Why are we paying for that? We're paying for it in Ukraine. We're paying for it in Israel. Why? Yeah, we're not going to support that. We are going to push this administration to move the other way. Anyway, by the way, if Netanyahu, you're a little offended by that, we'll come to your defense if you're attacked. Just don't provoke it. Could we be any more controversial? No, we're being honest. America first. And that's the topic of what we're going to talk about. Right now, it's one down, one to go. And the AIPAC lobby and all their little friends, they're winning. We're going to talk to you about that right here on the show. But first, I need to let you know that we are brought to you by a great set of products here. I fully endorse them. I use them. Actually, I use two of the four products. I use the energy band, and don't wear it to bed because it'll keep you up. And I also use the EMF defense back of the phone. Now, back of the phone, why? Because it blocks the EMF coming off. I don't want glioblastoma, but we need our cell phones. They also have a sleep patch. They also have the pain patch. All frequency-based, which is the rage in modern healthcare right now. 30-day money-back guarantee, a Black Friday special. Buy one, get one free. Go to BodyAlign, A-L-I-G-N, BodyAlign.com/Dave Hodges. That's BodyAlign.com/Dave Hodges. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene and I walk in sync. We're America first. We're tired of Congress being on the dole from AIPAC. 89% of Congress gets donations from AIPAC. I'm tired of it. You're America first or you're not. We shouldn't be taking any foreign money for our elected officials. I don't care what country you're from. This isn't directed at Israel. It's directed at every other nation in the world, all 191 of you. No foreign contributions, period. They've driven AIPAC and their friends, and sadly, President Trump has driven Marjorie Taylor Greene out of politics as of January. No, I don't agree. She's for America first. She stood up for the problems in our elections that need to be corrected. She has stood up for every issue that directly affects the average American person. We need her in politics. President Trump, I love you, but you are making a mistake in driving her out. Now, I said one down and one to go, did I not? Well, who else could I be talking about? Well, I'm talking about Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie. He's Marjorie Taylor Greene in male clothing. Birds of a feather. Yet Adelson, huge donor, who's Israel first in America, I don't know, somewhere, what, 190th? Adelson, is that where you place America? She is funding to the tune of $20 million a degenerate opponent that is horrible for America, but will play games and support AIPAC. That simple. And Massie has said the hard stuff. Criticized Biden with his Chinese-Ukrainian relationships. He's been America first every step of the way, just like Marjorie Taylor Greene. But he's drawn the ire of people that don't serve America first, they serve a foreign country first. At some point in time, we're going to have to organize and contribute to Massey's fund. We cannot let AIPAC win this battle. We cannot let Adelson win this battle. We're going to have to step up. And at some point, I'm going to be promoting a campaign in the other 49 states to send money directly to the campaign of Thomas Massie. We can't have this. We've got to support the people who support us. President Trump, please course correct on this. You're America first in every way, except when it comes to those people across the ocean. Yes, we can be close military allies. No, they don't come before any American citizen ever. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Been a while since I've done one of they're called mental status exams. And I'm going to just cut to the chase on the main parts. I'm not going to attempt to do an entire one. I may do one and put it on the website, thecommonsenseshow.com. But my purpose for doing this, and I want to make sure we understand this, I'm not trying to defame anybody.
But I'm trying to identify the characteristics of people and institutions that interfere in a couple of things. One, okay, good Christians living Christian life, because there is a threat to that from various people and organizations. And two, our national sovereignty, changing who we are, trying to take away our rights, changing the values of what it means to be an American. And when I see people that are engaged in deceitful activities to the detriment of Christians and Americans, I am going to speak up. And in this case, I have the expertise to do so. I don't know how many of my colleagues in the alternative media who are addressing the TPUSA Erica Kirk controversies have a mental health background, but you know, to me, that's irrelevant. I haven't seen a psychological analysis of Erica Kirk, and personalities run in institutions too. And I'm not going to do so much with TPUSA, but I am going to talk about the mental status of Erica Kirk as I see it. And I'll say this here as a spoiler alert. She has several personality disorders. Her primary presenting disorder is antisocial personality disorder. But people get confused on the term. You know, oh, she's a psychopath, she's a sociopath. Well, antisocial is kind of a combination of the two. And that's a crude analogy, not 100% accurate, but I want to put you in the right mind frame. I'm going to walk you through what an antisocial is, but we're not going to stop there. Then we're going to go to what I believe are secondary presenting traits in personality disorders. They run in clusters. They divide in cluster A, cluster B, okay? And there's clusters they run in. I'm not going to educate you to that point because I'm not teaching future therapists, but I want you to understand who and what we're dealing with and give perspective on who Erica Kirk is, what she is, and how this is influencing the direction she's trying to take one of the most important institutions in America, which could mold the attitudes and voting behaviors of young adults. And this is the spirit in which I do this. If Erica Kirk was just, if she just had a cluster of personality disorders, but she wasn't having an impact on the country, then I would just leave it alone. I'd say, I hope she gets the help she needs and she does better. The thing is I don't even know what her origins are. Is it genetic? Is it been artificially induced? We're going to actually look at that in a separate segment. I'm not sure about that, but what I am sure about are the presenting symptoms that I observe, and I see them repetitively. And the fact that I'm doing this over 5 months out from Charlie's assassination, as opposed to maybe having done this last September, October, November, I don't know that I would have had the data set that was repetitive enough to come to the right conclusions. So I wanted to give you rationale for what I am doing. We are brought to you by 7702. What? I know exactly. Okay. I've got a friend, Joe Lombardi, Financial Hawk is his company. They're fantastic. And what they do is they take people who have a reasonable sum of money and doesn't have to be absolutely huge, but it's not minuscule either. This is not for everybody, but they've come into a promotion. They get a bonus. They've won the lottery. They get inheritance, something. And they think, what do I do? Well, putting all that in the bank is a bad idea because you're going to lose money in the bank because of inflation. Plus, well, you heard me say this when I've advertised for Noble Gold. You know, if you look at the Dodd-Frank law of 2010, they can keep your money. So if they get in trouble, bye-bye. Bye-bye retirement associated with the bank, 401ks, IRAs, and your savings account. So you think, well, what do I do with the money? You should diversify. But one of the ways you should diversify is with Joe Lombardi. What he has you do, it has to do with end-of-life care, setting up revenue streams to make you, really, for a lot of people, rich beyond their wildest dreams. And this is how the super-rich became ultra-rich. Was using this strategy from IRS code 7702 that not many people understood other than their attorneys that created the statute to begin with. And Joe Lombardi has learned this. Now, who's he? He's a former big-time Wall Street investor, big-time. His company is A-rated, and he's never lost a dime of client money. People love him, and you will too. So if you're saying, what do I do with the money? Well, what you should do is go to DH Hawk, That's like Dave Hodges, dhhawk.com. Fill out a request for feedback and you'll get started. And they don't push you. And they'll tell you right away, well, how much are you looking at protecting and developing into a revenue stream that's largely tax-free? And if you're not meeting certain criteria, they'll tell you right away. I'll tell you right now, if you do not do this and you've got a reasonable sum of money, you are going to leave a lot of potential profit on the table. Not to mention you get benefits like end-of-life care, things like this. It's absolutely fantastic. You owe it to yourself to find out. dhhawk.com. All right. We're going to go to, I chose a layman's interpretation of these mental illnesses. I could have gone right to DSM. And what DSM, it stands for Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 5th edition. And they give you all the criteria and they'll say, here are the symptoms of, let's say, histrionic personality disorder. And they might list 9 traits and say to get a positive diagnosis, you have to have 6 of the 9 traits exhibited within the last 90 days. I mean, and I'm just making that number up because it varies year to year when they do the revisions. But you typically have a list of symptomology that's related, that's common. And then you say, okay, for us to cross the threshold of proper diagnosis and to be accepted by insurance companies using their ICD codes, then you will have to have so many out of the so many and be able to justify it in your clinical notes. That's if you're going to get payment for service. I know this very well because I used to do this. All right. Now, I think Erica's primary presenting characteristic and the one that I think poses a threat to America because these tendencies or symptoms end up permeating the institution and the people that she ultimately affects. And this is my concern here is about the potential impact. Now, can people make mistakes in diagnoses? Yes. Can people change? Absolutely. That's why there's therapy. But right now, what I have seen for a 5-month period is a repetitive pattern of many of these traits. And let's see if you agree. And I'd like your comments on that. Okay, they're defining symptoms for antisocial personality disorder. They begin displaying symptoms during childhood. Okay, fire setting, cruelty to animals, and difficulty with authority. I have no idea if that's true. Now, you don't have to have every one of these, as I mentioned. Okay, I don't know that of her, haven't seen that in her. You have legal problems resulting from failures to conform to social norms and a lack of concern for the rights of others. Well, reportedly, she cannot go back to Romania. Okay, and let's put it this way. The life insurance policy may not have been illegal, but man, do I think it's unethical, in my humble opinion. And you've got these questionable business practices as outlined by people like Danks and Zach DeGregorio and to some degree myself. Well, that's association with what I think is inappropriate and perhaps potentially illegal behavior. So does she fit that? I would say that's a check mark. Acts out impulsively and fails to consider the consequences of her actions. Almost every time I see her speak, I see examples of this. She's been coached. She's done a little better. But, you know, the casket scene, I want to pour my heart out to someone who's grieving. But I just found it so cringeworthy, it turned my stomach. How about taking down their wedding photo in the studio? Is that a little suspicious? I call that impulsive. Even if she started to date somebody else now, I'm not addressing that here at this point, but even if she was, why would you take their wedding photo down from the studio? That's pretty impulsive. One of the primary acts of impulsivity I've seen, and then it carried out into an action, was the mock-up assassination scene at AmFest, where they charge people to go into this under the tent canopy thing and have selfies. And then they tried to sell merchandise to them. Oh man, I just, oh, cringeworthy again. And her impulsivity, the 6-day recording, okay, 6 days after Charlie's gone, and she comes on, she's doing a Zoom call, and there, a lot of you have seen this, and she in there, you know, She looked like hell, by the way. She looked like she didn't feel good. But she's bemoaning Charlie and I think feigning grief. And for a lot of reasons, I say feigning. But then she turns right around and starts talking. We raised $250,000 and goes off and is like, she just won the Super Bowl. So we go from expression of grief to extreme elation. Oh, that's not normal. Displays aggressiveness and irritability that often leads to physical assaults. Don't know that. Leave the physical assaults out. But I do see the irritability. You've seen it in the interviews, even though she has softball interviews designed to rehabilitate her image to the public. We see these occasional outbursts. And have you been watching? You watch like, I can't stand to watch the interviews, but I actually try to force myself and I have to do them in bits and pieces because honestly, I'm repulsed by her. And I'm watching these interviews and she's talking along and then boom, it's like a commercial at night during an infomercial where they turn up the volume and she just explodes emotionally. And I just, wow, I'm thinking that's out of place. And that's the irritability factor that I see. Has difficulty feeling empathy for others. Yes, we're firing you. Oh, you've been with us and you worked 80-hour weeks, but we're not giving you a reason. You're just gone. Now get out of here. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. No severance. No, we'll give you a job recommendation, letter of recommendation. You got to go. That was the ultimate lack of empathy. But I will tell you this. When you feign grief in one aspect, or you're showing grief, and then right on top of the dabbing the tear in the same way, same corner of the eye, say it's never varies, then you see extreme elation over money. Yeah, there you go. Okay, displays a lack of remorse for damaging behavior, point in emphasis by things I've already said. Often poor or abusive relationships with others, more likely to abuse or neglect their children. Let's deal with the last part of this. When you're on tour all the time and you're doing all these appearances all the time, who the hell's watching your kids? And that point's been raised ad infinitum by dozens, if not hundreds, of people online. Who's raising the kids? And at what point do kids need their mother? Well, they just lost their dad. Why did you have to go pump, become the CEO 2 days after? What about just retreating and being with your kids? That's a typical reaction. And we're not seeing that. We're seeing, in my opinion, child neglect. And the rumors have come out too about nanny statements and this and that. I don't even need to know that that's true. I just know you can't do the social media and presentation scale that she's on and give attention to your kids. Poor or abusive relationships with others. Well, there's no question in my mind from what I've been told by insiders, what other people are espousing as well too, from their knowledge. Charlie was dumping her. They'd sold their Scottsdale home and he had found out about what he perceived to be infidelity. And this is, listen, folks, this is not Dave Hodges breaking the story. Newsflash. This was broken a long time ago. It's just I've been slow to react to it because I didn't think it was germane, but it fits the diagnosis of her personality here. Okay. Damaging behavior. And then there's the stories I've been told personally. She'll be in a meeting and someone will say, well, would Charlie want that? When Charlie's on the road, she's making decisions for the institution. And he'll come around to it. That's a comment I've heard more than once. Okay. And yet, these decisions were often pro-Zionist and going against what Charlie had publicly stated they were going to do. And then she turns around and lies without conscience about Charlie's moving and pivoting away from Netanyahu and the Zionist imperialism. He didn't want any part of that. He said so openly. It's not open for debate. Now, I've played the clips for you in the past. Frequently lie and deceive others for personal gain. I have to be the trad wife. Okay. I didn't date for 5 years. Oh, no. Don't believe those pictures with me hugging on one of the guys, and you know, the baseball player, got my arms wrapped around the basketball player. Cabot Phillips, we're a couple. Yeah, we do the pottery thing together, whatever they were doing. And then the video that she made, sex sells. But I didn't date for 5 years. I didn't drink. Oh, did you forget about the reality shows you were on where you were dating and drinking? See, everyone has a history leading up to your permanent relationship. Some of it's scandalous, some of it's not scandalous. But everybody has a history. Why would you deny yours, Erica? That doesn't make any sense. You know, and you also could have had a come to Jesus moment after 2013 to 2018 before you met Charlie. You lied. You lied about Fort Huachuca. You were there. Candace Owens produced three witnesses, and one of them, Mitch Snow, it's beyond doubt that he's telling the truth. But you continue to lie. And we come down here to some narratives here. These characteristics lead to major difficulties in many life areas. She has not had a stable relationship in her life. Adults, this can be destructive to the person living with this disorder and those who come into contact with them. Yeah, ask Charlie. People with antisocial personality disorder are likely to engage in risk-taking behaviors, dangerous activities, and criminal acts. Well, I think a lot of us who've been covering this would agree with this. And those with the disorder are often described as having, here's the key, people, no conscience, feel no regret or remorse for their harmful actions. There's actually a biological reason, and I don't know if this is Erica. See, this is the debate I have with myself. Is she antisocial personality disorder by genetic factors with minimal environment involvement, or is it maximum environment involvement through manipulation of personality through artificial means? Oh, yeah, if you're thinking of those initials that go with ultra, you'd be correct. I don't know what the answer is there, but I'm telling you, the effect is what I am seeing here. Now, if it's genetic, there's a part of your brain responsible for governing emotions called the limbic system. And in 56% of antisocials, the limbic system is underdeveloped. It has nothing to do with IQ, nothing to do whatsoever. But they're the kid in fifth grade that hears a joke and they don't get the double meaning because they can't advance advanced emotionality. And they figure this out pretty quick. And usually what they end up doing is compensatory. They'll learn how to read people's body language to tell them what it is they want to hear. And they're really good at it. They're master manipulators. When you hear of the guy who has three wives at the same time, and he juggled them and managed to fleece them all of their life savings, this is the kind of person you're dealing with. Okay, now, she has other absolutely distinctive characteristics along these lines with no conscience. We've seen it in the aftermath of the death of her husband. But where it really comes out, no one's talking about this very much. Well, look at her behavior is suspicious because she's not had anything to do with Charlie's parents at all. Okay. You know, let's just go to the award ceremony where Charlie posthumously got that national award from President Trump. She's sitting in the front row. Where's Charlie's parents? Obscure, out of the way, not in the sight of cameras. She even had her handler, or one of her handlers, I believe, Stacey Sheridan, who hovers around her constantly right there. What about the parents? Where's your conscience, Erica? They lost their kid. Their loss is equal to what yours should have been. Where are you with comforting each other? It's non-existent. It's non-existent. And you show no remorse for their feelings. Lost their kid. They had a lot more time with him than you did. Now we get into diagnosis. Disregard for safety and self of others. Now, we're kind of borderline on that one. Failure to obey laws. I think that's been established. Impulsive behavior been established. Irritability and aggression. Yeah, she doesn't have much patience when people disagree with her. If I even suspect that you don't like me, or you're not on board with TPUSA 2.0, you're gone. So employee purge with not conscience. Lying or manipulating others for profit or amusement. Facts and evidence. Pattern of irresponsibility. I can't speak to that. I don't know. There's not enough information there. By the way, you have to be 18 years or older to qualify for the diagnosis. If you're 17, 16, 15, have these traits, they usually call it adolescent conduct disorder. But she's an adult. What's the prevalence in the United States? According to DSM-5, the rate they estimate is 0.2% to 3.3% of adults have antisocial personality disorder, and the condition tends to affect men more than women. That's true. But there are, I don't know if you ever heard of the case of Jodi Arias, a murderess. Her trial was in Arizona. That's why we were inundated with it, like the Guthrie trial, Guthrie situation. We were inundated by this here. And we saw up front what Jodi Arias was. I'm not saying Erica Kirk and Jodi Arias are the same, but women can be antisocials. And clearly, I believe this is the case. Okay, now the disorder is more common among first-degree biological relatives. We don't know if she has that. Okay, upbringing can have an important influence. Childhood abuse, neglect. See, I think neglect is a possibility in Erica's background. Okay, mom would have been on the road, traveling with her business and so forth. And by the way, Erica's emulating that behavior with her own kids now. Okay, and press play for advice on healing from child abuse. I don't see any evidence that she was abused, but there is something that's coming out that's related to this too, outside norms, values. I'm a Christian. I'm a trad wife. I'm a Christian. But we're seeing things surface about her private life that honestly, I don't give a crap about, except the fact that the life she was living, and people say still living, is inconsistent with a trad wife. She's living a lie, is what a lot of people would tell us. And I've not gone into that avenue, her relationship with Tracy Martin. I'm not going to go there with this. I might mention it later in terms of why people are concerned. The 15-year-old text exchange, that was wholly inappropriate. Oh, if I was the parent, I would have had the police in her living room. That was wholly inappropriate. You know, I don't see if you know about Charlie Kirk, how you do not know about this. So there's some signs there, but this is her presenting symptom. Now, I'm going to come back and do a part two because she's got secondary characteristics that factor into her behavior that I see clearly. But to me, I see overriding belief. Now, let me just say this in conclusion. When you become a master manipulator, okay, you're doing it for gain. You're doing it for power over others. And if you have a disorder in your limbic system, you're not connecting on an emotional level. You don't have empathy. And this explains some of the bad emotional judgment that we see. And it's the disconnect between body language, vocal tone, and what would be an appropriate affective response in a moment. We see a total incongruence among those variables there. And this is what you would expect from someone who might have an impaired limbic system. One way to know is to do an MRI of the brain. Do I suspect she has that? I strongly suspect she was born this way. Strongly. What does it mean? Well, what did she come into TPUSA for? Why is she catering so intimately with J.D. Vance? Antisocials view people as objects to be manipulated for personal gain. Does that sound like Erica? You be the judge. Let me know what you think. We'll be back with part two because there's more. And some of her other traits are almost as strong as these.